You're listening to Around Comics, episode 263, brought to you by InStockTrades.com.
With a big white sling on her wing and two geysers where her eyes were made.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is normally recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, but for this special New Year's edition, we're back at our other favorite store in Chicago. That's right, Challengers Comics and Conversation. It is located at 1845 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you are in the area, you should certainly drop by, because, it's just an awesome store.
2010. Let's do it.
Yeah. Happy New Year's, guys. Christopher Newsman here with a couple.
You gotta wait till like January 2nd to actually say all that, because
you can do it on January 1st. That's kind of the point, Mike.
I know. But everybody's sentence like this when you do it on
I'm Christopher Newsman, and let me get you introduced to this week's panel. First of all, we have a very, very hungover coffee slurping Tom Caters.
I'm very hungover. I slept until noon. That never happens.
Noon?
Noon, yeah.
You don't have dogs or children.
No, at some point I climbed out of bed and went to the couch, and I woke up on the couch. I don't know when that happened. I don't know why.
You look terrible, Tom.
Yeah, I feel great though.
Happy New Year!
I really lived life to the fullest. I seized the opportunity.
Nothing left.
Nothing left. Nothing left.
And next is Mr. Mike Norton. Mike, how you doing?
I am not hungover, so I'm feeling okay.
Well, we're in Challengers, which here a couple days ago you had taken over the store, and it was mm-hmm. Nortingers for
yes.
a day. So that's how right. was how was
I
your...
miss my days of control.
Well, I was going to say, how was the experience of being a comic book shop owner for one day?
It was nice because I didn't actually have to do anything. I'm actually a guy that when I did get a management position in a record store, I quit that week.
Really?
I can't handle
so
the
you
responsibility.
Didn't fill out, like, the diamond orders
no,
or anything?
No, I didn't do anything like that.
You did nothing that had anything to do with, like, responsibility?
Yeah, I learned how to do I did the register a couple of times, and that kind of made me nervous.
What I saw is that you learned how to draw comic books, because whenever I came in, you were sitting on the
true.
Couch drawn.
Yeah. Well, you know. You can only
you do what you're good at.
Yeah.
Did you berate anyone for their purchases?
What I did find out, I didn't do much berating, but what I did find out is how backstabby Dal and Patrick are.
They can be. Yeah.
They were trying to get each other fired the whole day. They're sabotaging each other.
Did they come in, you know, Dal would be like, did you see what Patrick was doing?
One would turn her back and one would come up to me. He's like,
Check the receipts at the end of the day.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, exactly.
I think Dal's been getting into the till.
That's exactly what they did.
Did you notice that new fur coat Dal's wearing? Can he afford that?
What was funny is that Mike was trying to give me a DC Direct Blue Beetle figure.
Yeah, that's right.
He was trying to
what
get,
was the trivia
I feel
question?
Like a jerk.
It was like, you know, in what panel of what issue
I went and I started thinking, I tried to think of easy. I was giving Blue Beetle figure away, and you had to answer a Blue Beetle trivia question.
Yeah.
And they were really stupid hard. I didn't think they were hard.
Well, not for a diehard.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize how. I just assumed. And
so
then,
like, Dan Garrett, is he left-handed or right-handed?
No, it wasn't that. It was sort of that bad. But
don't be ridiculous.
Well, okay. Ask him the question.
When was the school that the school that Ted Kord went to and Dan Garrett taught at?
Oh shit. Yeah. That's a good question.
And it's based on a Chicago school.
I got very close on this.
Yeah, you got very close.
Probably like something like DePaul. Or
no,
something?
Well, see, because Ted Kord lives in Evanston, so I was like, okay, it's got to be a directional. And I asked him, and he gave me a clue. It's like, is it a directional? He's like, yeah, it is. So I think I guessed it like North Central University.
Yeah, what was it?
It's Midwestern University.
Huh. Nice.
And I figured that was good for at least like a leg or like the head of the figure, but yeah, nothing.
So no one got it?
No. No one got that one. And then I tried the, you know, what was the island that Dan died at. Until I'm from the south.
And for me, you know, as the layman DC fan I am, it's like I know Oolong. And
you were doing every island except for
Monster Island.
Monster Island Junior. It's like Monster Island, Little Monster Island.
It's like Mer Island. Ah, shit, wrong universe.
Trick question. It was actually a peninsula.
Yeah, it was. that was Pago Pago Island.
Oh, okay.
And
see, Tom's not even getting this shit.
Well, I mean, and then I was trying to go easier, but I don't know what easier is, I guess, obviously.
It's
hard when a genius plays in the sandbox.
Yeah, it's not even that. I said, well, what's Ted's uncle that killed Dan?
Oh.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Jarvis Cord. And
they all familiar after I hear him? Because I've read all those. I haven't read them in a long time.
Actually, the guy that won actually was the dumbest question. Seriously, I had to go down.
See, I knew I should have stuck around.
One of the questions was, what are the two non-lethal ways that his gun work?
Oh, it's the light flash and the sound.
And it's not sound. It's a compressed air blast.
Compressed air.
Fuck. You do not get the action figure. So finally, I said, what is the name of his ship?
The bug?
The bug.
Yeah.
And so that's how somebody
won. Pretty cool ship.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of like the one in Watchmen.
Yeah, they might be related. Does Blue Beetle ever had awkward to watch sex in the bug?
Well, you know, I've brought this up before talking to people, but there was a kind of moment in a Chuck Dixon Birds of Prey issue where he and Barbara Gordon are flying around in the bug.
Ah.
Like Watchmen.
All of a sudden, Leonard Cohen like, starts playing over the loudspeaker.
Yeah, and instead of a burning building, they come upon a burning train that they have to save. And it's
weird.
Just, yeah, isn't that strange?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
It's a Butch Geist, whatever his name is.
Butch Geist. Or Jackson.
Yeah.
Jackson. Yeah, well, he can go by two names.
Mm-hmm. Butch, he used to be Jackson. Now it's Butch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bold move.
Maybe he feels
more manly. Butch.
Yeah.
All right, just call me Butch.
All right, before we jump all the way in here, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by InStockTrades.com. We're waiting for the trade. Has never been easier. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, omnibus, absolute editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. And right now, our book club selection, which we're going to have to finish up here before the end of the month, time is ticking, is Tom's Choice, the Strangers in Paradise, Volume 1.
Yes.
Which has been it has been discounted 47% off the cover price. And I started reading it this week.
Yeah.
Tom,
have you never read it before?
I've never read Strangers in Paradise.
That's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. I'm like three chapters in, or three issues in, and enjoying it quite a bit. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. And before the show, I told Tom to think of some music, because we need to have some musical interludes for this episode.
How about Ghetto Boys?
Oh, come on.
My mom's playing tricks on me.
Man, I don't know. I want to pick something that Chris wouldn't pick if I'm going to choose.
Pick something you like, then.
Yeah, I'll pick something I like. I'll have it figured out by the end of the episode. Okay. I got to seriously consider this.
All right. Well, everyone else listening to this knows already, because we've already had probably one or two music breaks in between now and then. All right, well, let's move on to the topics at hand. And like I said at the top of the show, Happy New Year to everyone. And it's
happy
not just
new decade.
Happy New Decade. That's exactly where I was going. It's not just the end of 2009. We've kind of put the aughts in the book, so the 2000s are, I guess, officially over now.
Yeah,
and I thought it'd be kind of
good riddance,
you know, kind of.
Is that what everybody's saying? Really,
it was a tough decade, man.
Well, you know, there's that internet meme thing going around as like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
and I don't really like to think about what I was doing 10 years ago. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't really super happy around that time.
Well, I mean, you've had professionally, you've had obviously a very good decade.
Yeah, it's been great for me. That's probably the best. It's pretty much the like realization of childhood dreams and stuff mm-hmm. in that regard. So I can't complain.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, kind of what I was thinking on the driving on the way in here today is that, you know, the 2000s were a rough decade for, you know, a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Obviously from a world view, the world has changed a lot in the mm-hmm. last decade, you know, post 9/11 world that we live in, et cetera. But, you know, for comics, I think it's been a pretty good decade for comics.
Yeah. And lots of good lots of good books.
Coming out of the 90s, which not everything in the 90s was bad, but I think that the way that comics are sold and why comics are sold and how they're written and how they're produced has changed a lot coming out of the dive of the speculator boom mm-hmm. and then the subsequent bust. And I think at the end of the 90s, and I've always been one of those people that decades kind of actually start a little bit before the decade and then end a little bit before. I'm kind of a, you know, I think you look back at how a decade can be defined, and I think like 98 to 2008 is actually kind of a good way to, you know.
So you just pick your decade.
Well, I think it's a little bit of a slide that you start to get a feel for how that decade is going to uh-huh. start to evolve a couple years beforehand.
So tell me, Nostradamus.
Yes, sir.
What is the next decade going to be like?
It would be irresponsible for me to put you on a path that you normally.
It's harder and harder for me to define stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like a good example is like if you go back in if you were to do, hey, make a visual representation of every decade, you could do that with like from the 20s, the 30s, mm-hmm. and the 50s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could probably see something and instantly recognize that as 50s yeah. or that's 60s or that's yeah. 70s. After
Jimi Hendrix on stage at Woodstock, that's a 60s yeah, image.
You after know? 80s yeah. for me, and I mean, and especially 90s, when you get in now, I have nothing. I can't think of anything.
Everything's still around. Like, yeah. everything's recorded, there's and everything
no, is. There's like, no symbol of.
Part of why it's easier, I think, to like define like, you know, the 50s or the 60s is as time passes by, certain things last image-wise yeah. or whatever, mm-hmm. or just by the nature of
the
how 2000s we collect
are
information.
Still so new. Yeah. Still so
we
new
collect, too. Some stuff just fades away. Mm-hmm. I mean, some stuff we just don't remember anymore or was deemed not worthy to be, you know, in the public consciousness. But now with the way it's a combination, it's all fresh, and with the internet, everything is around. It's hard for things to disappear.
Well, I think that you may have just kind of struck on what the aughts, which is officially what I'm calling the aughts, yeah. what the aughts are going to be defined by. It was really the rise of the internet as a as a daily part of everyone's life. Mm-hmm. You know, even, you know, people that, you know, near retirement age, my parents have email accounts and check their websites every morning.
Pornography, you know, really my porn consumption of porn is really changed.
Off the charts.
10 years ago, I masturbated this way. You know, it's completely altered my personal
it's
life.
It's changed everything.
It's changed everything, but, fundamentally.
You know, Mike, you as a creator, what have you seen, you know, in the last 10 years that you would say, okay, this is a decade that was either defined by comics like this, or this is something that was huge that changed the way that you do your job?
Wow. I mean, this is really hard for me. Whenever I have to think about stuff like lists and stuff, I'm just, dumbstruck. But, I mean, if I were to think about what was like the biggest, I think, and I think this goes across the board, and it has a lot to do with the internet. I think the ability for people to make comics and make good comics that aren't necessarily company owned mm-hmm. has kind of really taken off. I mean, you had the black and white boom in the 80s. That was a big deal, but you, even then, there weren't a whole lot of guys in their garages doing it. They were making their own companies, and mm-hmm. those companies, some of them are still around today. Yeah. And now I could seriously get up in the morning and say, hey, I want to do a comic, and 30,000 people have seen it by the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not just like, it used to be just like Scott Kurtz was the only guy doing that, you know, at the beginning of the decade. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only a couple of guys that are doing that, him and the Penny Arcade guys. And there are a couple, I know there's a handful of people that would yell at me saying that they're the only ones, but they're the only ones anybody saw.
Yeah, yeah. They're the ones, well, it's kind of what we were talking about whenever you look back at decades and decades past.
Right.
The images, the things that last are the ones that you think of. And certainly mm-hmm. Penny Arcade and PVC
I remember PVC. That's my dominatrix.
I was thinking about plumbing. Yeah.
I remember looking at PvP. Oh, geez. I mean, has that thing been around before 2000? It seems like it has. It's been around forever. Yeah.
Well, see, that comes back to my belief that things the little lead in.
I remember seeing it before, and then it just takes off. It's like a lot. He's making his own TV shows and stuff now.
Because I think a lot of people look at like the Ultimate Universe, like Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men and all that stuff, has been a very, very early aughts, mm-hmm. you know, early 2000s thing. But that started in, what, 98?
Yeah, 99. It's been around.
So, I mean, there was a little bit of a primer there. So.
But I think the universalness of creation now, I think it definitely makes it hard. It's like music now. It's harder to find good stuff, but there's a lot more of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's a built-in – the process previously is, you know, like back in the 80s, you know, something like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, when you eventually would find out about something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, rarely, unless you were there when it happened.
Yeah. Almost by chance.
Yeah. It had to survive through various, you know, pitfalls and things that would weed out stuff.
Definitely. Like, yeah, I think about how I found comics when I was growing up in the 80s, it's totally different.
Going
now.
To the 7-Eleven or the Hucks.
If I had just gone to the 7-Eleven, like millions of people, I wouldn't have seen half the comic books. If it weren't for me like picking up like a comic scene or seeing like the Mile High ad on the back and going, there's other comics, you know?
Well, there's the thing, like when I was in high school, I was really big into, you know, into music and buying CDs and buying like vinyl and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a big deal when you knew of a store in a town that had like import stuff.
Blew me away when my buddy Ron was a big music guy in high school.
It just doesn't matter anymore.
Go and find all these crazy things.
You know, Chicago, you go to Reckless Records to buy, you know, imports and weird stuff that you
don't need
find.
To. If you really wanted to hear it, you did that whole, the, you know, people talk about that with comic books too. People talk about like, oh, you know, part of the fun is the hunt for it. But I think the younger generations don't, not that that's good or bad, but just the internet has changed that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not hard to find anything.
No,
at
you
all.
Can,
I
you
mean,
can
yeah,
find
it,
anything.
It's incredibly easy. You can, even comic books, you know, when I was a kid and I wanted to get a back issue, you just had to look, you know, or like when there's a convention, you go to a convention, or if you found a store, you stop by. Now you just buy it on eBay, and
it's funny because, you know, I grew up in Southern Illinois, and so I had, there was like one damn comic shop, and that was it.
Yeah.
And so to find a back issue, you would basically ask the guy that ran the shop, and it's like, if you find this, let me know and keep it for me. And that would be like, I think I spent like 4 years assembling a run of the X-Men from, you know, and this is going back a little bit, but I it was my goal to get, you know, issue 100 to issue 200 of the X-Men, and it took me like 4 years to do that, and that was stuff that would just kind of come into the shop occasionally, and I would buy it with my whatever allowance, and it was not easy to do
in
that.
A lot of ways, though, I like what the internet, I mean, if you have an interest in something, like when I think of when I was a kid, you know, and this isn't, I'm 31, so I'm talking like 80s or something. If you were interested in something, and you know, like, oh, I really like this comic book creator, you know, the amount of work that it would take you, like if you were really into somebody to like hunt down, figure out what stuff they'd done first, just figuring that out, or and then getting a hold of it now on the internet. If you're like, oh, I really like this writer, you can look like in 30 seconds, you can find out everything they've written, and you can find out how to get it, which I think is really an awesome thing for creators. You know, the fact that with the internet and how close creators are to the audience as well, with stuff like Twitter and message boards, the creators aren't really anonymous anymore, and it's easy to follow somebody or to get into their stuff. And I think that's a great thing. I think that's one of the best things that's happened in the last decade.
Yeah, so, you know? Yeah, that's what I think.
If you're like, oh, when I was a kid, God, you know, trying to figure out if I really like.
If you could have followed Jerry Conway on Twitter then.
Yeah, it would have been sweet. But but it's that thing. You're like, oh, who is this guy? I mean, there wasn't, there was like magazines you could get, or if you knew somebody who knew, you know, that was the thing.
Right.
Is there wasn't something as simple as, here is a list of everything this person has done. Mm-hmm. You know, like think of how big of a change that is, even from when you're a kid to now. Like I can find out everything Jerry Conway has done.
Yeah. Just go to comicbookdb.com.
Exactly.
And it's there's a list of everything that he's credited on. Yeah, it's pretty.
And the stuff like that too, like those websites that do, like the information about like who created comic books, who's the artist, and it's based solely on fan enthusiasm.
Yeah,
I think those things are pretty incredible as well, just for the fact that, you know, that's like Wikipedia. There's Wikipedia entries about Legion of Superhero members that are more detailed and more thought out than like
what DC would put out.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
or hell, that they even know.
That they even know.
They may not have anybody on staff that remembers it besides Paul Levitz.
Paul Levitz. Yeah.
He's not going to do all of their DC entries.
Paul Levitz wrote the company
and do all these who entries.
Well, I think we may have figured out why Paul has stepped
down.
He's working on a new Who's Who. Yeah,
he's
putting in Wikipedia entries for Legion guys.
He's fixing the Legion entries. Well, Mark Waid wrote
that'll take years.
Mark Waid wrote the Kryptonite one. I remember he said somewhere for
Oh, really? For Wikipedia?
Yeah, for the Wikipedia entry. But the whole concept of harnessing sort of fandom's interest and stuff to make things that are really worthwhile and interesting. Smart.
I mean, I know I've gone on message boards and done stuff like, hey, what do you think? What this is hypothetical. It's like, what kind of poster do you think Jaime Reyes has on his wall, you know? Mm-hmm. And people will... They have better ideas than I would, because I can't think of it as something right now, you know? Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. That it works that way.
That's
know?
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah, and I mean, you see what we're doing right now.
That's why these things are so popular.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, when I was growing up in Jackson, Tennessee, I didn't know anybody that liked comics, you know?
I mean, I've said from the beginning that, you know, I have this picture in my head that hopefully there's some kid that lives out in like rural Montana that has no other friends that read comic books, and he's able to listen to comic book podcasts.
Well, I think that happens. I mean, the feedback that you guys
get.
Well,
it's not kids.
Obvious.
It's adults.
Well, actually, it's 42-year-old men. But.
Damn it. I didn't bring it.
Adult men.
And I will bring it in our next recording, which will be in a couple weeks, actually. We got a postcard from China.
Over
Christmas, and I cannot remember the listener's name, but I will bring it in and read it on our next recording. But we got a postcard from China.
We always get those emails from that Nigerian prince.
Hell yeah,
you know, like he's a huge fan.
I got a different one today. It's an Eastern European lord that had been imprisoned, but. Around Comics may be trying to help him get his money.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know how the British
signed
lottery
Count
works,
of Monte Cristo.
That's what I got my wife for our anniversary, was a weatherbound copy of Count of Monte Cristo.
Look at that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's her favorite book of all time.
Oh, it's leatherbound, heavy.
Yes.
Heavy leatherbound book.
Oh, God, she could kill me with it. Couldn't she?
So I saw on...
It's a book you could kill somebody with.
I saw on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
You rearranging your
collected
editions. You should have seen this picture.
Here, I've got it right here.
What?
All this.
What the hell?
That was my New Year's Eve project. I had to organize my trades.
When you think about comic books in the 2000s, too, think about in the aughts, the, you know, trades and collected editions.
I'm imagining like this flashback episode, like sitcom thing of him organizing his stuff on New Year's Eve and like has too much whiskey and falls over, and he has this flashback of of the decade and like It's a Wonderful Life or something like that.
He fell in an omnibus and, and hurt his kidney on a corner of a large omnibus.
Ah, my spleen.
Yeah. So I can't find it right now. I'll pull it up. But yeah, I spent most of my my wife was out of town.
That's why. I was like, when you see this picture, I'd be like, if I did that, my wife would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Hey, what did you do? What is going on?
There's all these books like on table, like on tables, like stacked up this high. You know, like someone took them all off the bookshelf.
This room isn't that big. I've seen it. How do you have all that stuff in there?
It's ridiculous, dude.
Levels.
There's
lots of levels.
He's got like a Reed Richards closet that goes into another dimension. That
he's got a TARDIS. Infinite. Yeah. His room is a TARDIS. That's funny. That would be appropriate.
It would be.
You know, I watched Doctor Who all day today, but I did the whole comic room this year.
Yeah.
And so
impressive looking.
Well, thank you. At that time, it was just like get whatever you can into the room and just get it on the shelves.
And then there was no organization.
Like, okay, I will.
So that's had to have been driving you crazy for the last several months.
It has been driving me absolutely nuts. And so it's because nothing was alphabetized.
Oh,
nothing,
my God.
Nothing was where it was supposed to be.
I did that too when I rearranged the studio, and I still haven't really done it because I've traditionally never put anything in order. And it drives me crazy, but I never crazy enough for me to get off my ass and do something about it. And when I rearranged, I was like, I'm gonna put these in order finally. And I stopped about half a day into it. This is insane.
My wife, this is why my wife is gone. This is how silly my life is. Our older dog, who's like 12, does not like thunder, hates fireworks. And I live in a very Latino neighborhood in Chicago. And if there's one thing that happens.
So there's lots of thunder.
Lots of thunder. Exactly. 4th of July and New Year's Eve are just out of control in our neighborhood, the amount of fireworks.
Oh, me too. Yeah, there's like weapons grade stuff going on in the alley.
Quarter sticks of dynamite. I don't know. I'm not sure which of the cultures in my neighborhood thinks it's acceptable just to light off quarter sticks of dynamite.
Yeah. Firework factory employee.
It is going to kill our older dog one of these days. Yeah. So my wife will on 4th of July and New Year's, she loads up the older dog in the car. She drives to her parents' house.
Is that seriously where she was?
Yeah, she was in South Bend.
She was protecting the dog from fireworks.
Yeah. She drove Kenny to South Bend, Indiana.
Wow.
And so she was there for New Year's, and I, in my mind, was like, okay, honey, that's fine. Go on. And I was like, this is my opportunity to empty my room into the rest of the house.
So I do that same shit, too. Like, when my wife leaves, I'm like, ooh, this would be a good opportunity to go through my long boxes. because there's no other time when
awesome.
As soon as I pull one out, my wife's like, oh, God, you know, what are you doing?
Well, no, what is the first question? Do you need all that?
Oh, so yeah, I would never do it either.
This
then.
Is protectionist, you know. Yeah, it's very much true. The strategery involved here.
Yeah, exactly.
was to get all of my trades out on the dining room table, you know, stacked up, you know, like, you know, to my eyeballs, basically.
It was impressive.
It was. Well, those were just the trades. That was before I did the hardcovers.
Man. You know what I want? The tens. I want like digital. I'm slowly growing tired of accumulating paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Chris, 10 years ago would have been like, replace my CDs.
I was thinking about that today on the way
over
here.
Still got CDs.
Because I got somebody gave me the my girlfriend gave me. I can't tell you who that is. I did it again. My girlfriend gave me the.
You can even say her name.
Julie gave me the new Weezer CD.
Yeah.
Ratitude?
Yeah, and she gave me the CD.
That's weird, isn't
and
it?
And I thought it was weird because I was like, well, you could have just given me an iTunes thing or something like that. Because I have like five real CDs now.
Yeah, I got tons of CDs, but you know, I got like books and books of CDs that I've accumulated. I don't really like. Occasionally, I'll pop them in, or like if I'm like, oh, I want to listen to this, I'll import it into my library so I can listen to it. But it's weird because it's like the same thing with comics, though. Sometimes I think like
there's a perceived value that you have to the
there's
actual.
There's the fetishism of the
object. That's what it is. That's what it is.
And sometimes I think it's actually not a. It drives people to keep collecting, but I also think sometimes it brings out sort of the bad parts of people's fandom. Where if you remove, sometimes I think it's
good
for people.
If you remove the possession of it,
Sometimes I think it would. When people really love something, when they're really into a hobby or something, it can be really good for them to lose a little bit of that perceived like fetishism of the object sometimes, because I think it just makes you happier in the end. Like the accumulating all this physical things, and they like it's like they own you. Yeah. Like your records
or
your
true.
CDs.
It's true. And like you said, like there was a time where you couldn't conceive of not having the CD or like the liner notes.
Well, you know, I paid for it, so I feel like I should be able to have something that I can pick up and touch.
Yeah, but do you remember when that stopped? Because I can't, and I know it did, because I used to be like that. I used to be like that with comics. I used to be everything has to be bagged and boarded and put into a thing, and now they seriously I step on them walking through my apartment. I know it drives people crazy when I say that, but I
remember the story that you had the guys from CGS.
Peter Rio saw a copy of Spectacular Spider-Man lining the floor of my car, and I think he about had a heart
freaked
attack.
Freaked out.
Yeah. They looked at it. I think they wanted to bury it or something. You know,
I still have damaged. Problems. Yeah. Okay, I am the worst at that because I want my wife to be able to read comics and enjoy them, and she'll be like, oh, can I check that out? And I'll hand her a comic, and she'll be reading it, and she'll be killing me because it'll be like,
But they do that thing where they fold the cover back and they're rolling it up, and
and I'm just looking at her. She's like, "Are you okay?" I'm just like, "You're not reading it."
You know what it is?
I do that now though. So, and I don't know when it changed, and I think it has something to do with, like, maybe there was a day or a weekend, like your New Year's Eve, where I was like, screw this shit, you know? And then after that, I don't care anymore. I don't know what it's like, some traumatic event that makes me not care anymore.
And that's a good thing. I need to get to that.
Yeah, I need to have
you
these kind
a
of...
Bit
well, well
the
see,
things.
That's the weirdest thing. It's like a single issue, and it could be a single issue I know is going to be worth a nickel in a year, but there's still that ingrained feeling of like, this is how you read a comic because it doesn't harm the comic. Now, I can give a trade to somebody, and geez, they can throw it on the ground and step on it. I don't care because it's meant to be read, and I don't know why that hasn't clicked over into my head yet.
And that's what it is. It's a
you
head
know what
thing.
I need to come over and like just wail on one of your long boxes with a stick and just
it's
be
like one of those TLC shows.
Yeah, yeah.
You just come in and trash.
We should pitch that to A&E, where I go around to people's collections and I help them relax about owning stuff. Like, I just like tip a statue off like a no, don't touch my Reed Richards.
My Tom, I don't have long boxes. My comics are stored in custom made wood boxes.
I got long boxes.
I have long boxes too. The fact that I have long boxes
scares you?
No, it just tells you that I still haven't given that up much.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason for me to have as many as I have. I have like 20 of them stuffed in that little room.
I know, I've seen them.
But
I'm going to have to move my lawn.
Oh my gosh, that's right. How you guys?
Oh, good luck with
you
that.
Know, okay,
Jesus.
You know, we have.
I only have in my apartment in Chicago, like every year I go through and I clear out stuff. Mm-hmm. So I really only have like 8 lawn boxes of stuff I'd take with me.
The
like
one in the Virgin Islands, though, has everything.
My parents' house.
The nuclear war-proof bunker.
Yeah, which reminds... Well, you say what you were going to say.
Well, okay, this is about Tom, and he just mentioned it.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't follow us on Twitter, which you should, because you can follow me at C. Neesman, at C. Neesman. You can follow Tom at Tom Caters. Yeah. Mike is some weird bastardization.
Dr. Funkenstein's assistant.
But you can just look up Mike Norton. Yeah. But Tom, about a week ago, announced that he is going to be moving from Chicago to Worcester, Mass. So first of all, congratulations on your move. Second of all, I'm really, really sad about it because I'm losing one of my buddies, and Chicago is going to be a Worcester city without you here.
It's going to suck here.
It will. I was bummed. They told me on Nortinger's Day, and it kind of like made me angry. I fired Pat and Bell.
Never bring me bad news.
Yeah, exactly.
But
go commit seppuku.
I'm sure a lot of folks
change your family.
I'm sure a lot of folks just decided to stop listening to the show after they heard that.
Yeah. It's like click.
In a very selfish move, I talked to Tom very briefly before the show, and you're not going to be gone from the show forever.
No, I'm training somebody. I'm taking an apprentice. No, I'm kidding.
My eyes got big. It's like I got
teaching
know
Hank
is.
How to be me.
Yeah. You know, I'll be 100% honest. We don't know exactly what we're gonna do with the show, but I think it's gonna be a mix of live recordings at Challengers and Dark Tower, and a combination of some Skype episodes where Tom and I will talk probably with a guest. So Mike, expect for us to call you up on Skype and BS with us.
Chat room.
I won't have anywhere to go because you guys won't be here. So
well, you know, like I said, we're still going to be doing some we'll do some live recordings.
Please keep listening.
Please keep listening. No,
this is like finding out that the writer and artist are leaving the title.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Whenever Tom told me he was moving, you know, everybody knows that Sal stepped away from the show this year, and now Tom is leaving. So, it was honestly a pretty good opportunity to say, hey, we had a good run and let's go ahead and just put a period on it and hang it up. But I still enjoy doing it. I think Tom still enjoys talking about comics. So we're just going to keep kind of doing
give
it.
Give the people what they want.
I mentioned this on Twitter, but I do legally own the Ound and Around comics.
Which I will be taking with me. Yeah. You are terrible. Yeah.
Until we can
our comics.
Settle that.
Oh, man.
It's just our comics.
So you're going to be like Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh,
he's,
yeah, exactly.
He's just going to be what?
Should I start my own podcast called Around Comics? There's two separate Around
that was
Comics.
That was my freaking fear is that I was going to keep doing it. Sal's gone. Tom's gone. What, I'm the drummer of the freaking Beach Boys here?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to start my own show called Around Comics. Put it up on iTunes.
Was that yes?
Credence did it. Credence had Credence Clearwater Revisited, which is a completely different band,
which was not.
But
Fogarty.
it had like Fogarty in it or something.
No, it didn't have Fogarty.
Band without Fogarty.
I think it was the drummer.
The Velvet Underground put out one final album that had none of the original members in it, except for the closest was there was a bassist who replaced John Cale, was the only like tie to anything involved with the.
Well, I remember, you know, yes, it was. I think it was the drummer that kept the name for Yes, and Anderson Wayford. Buchman and Howe were like the other four guys.
Oh, is that when they got back together again?
No, that was whenever they had everyone but the guy who owned the name Yes. And so they put out a record and toured on the name Anderson.
That's right, because there were like 57 guitar players in the band at that point. I was like, what do you need all these guys?
You don't get that sound without 80 guitars.
Before the one guy.
Like, they don't have to do any overdubbing. They're doing everything.
All in one take. So the move got me looking through my long boxes. And I was like, I need to get rid of some stuff.
I need to get so... So he thought of me.
I thought of you. But I thought it for a very specific gift. For
presents.
You had mentioned that you wanted to get into the Legion of Superheroes, but you had no idea of where to start. And the sort of annoying thing with the Legion of Superheroes is the really good stuff isn't exactly collected. And like the Levitz Giffen stuff has not been really rationally collected. So I'm giving you my Legion issues, up like a mix of them.
Oh, good
There's
Lord.
A bunch of them.
Wow. Oh, awesome. Look at that.
So, it's a gift. There's a lot of them.
Oh, my God.
But.
Oh, gee. I thought there was going to be like another handful.
Oh, look at this. Oh,
so
my God.
So, this is a gift from me to you.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Let me look at these. Thank you so much, Tom.
I wonder if I can still get a copy of Lock and Chase there on the back.
So, it's not all of it's like a mix. I do have a lot of consecutive run after about like 280. But everything beforehand,
you
is like
can just
a mix
jump
of stuff.
In there, like really?
Oh my gosh, this is.
I mean, there's 70s kind,
dude.
You know, you can completely jump in.
Kerry Bates and Mike Grill.
Yeah,
look at that.
Yeah, I mean, when people ask, like, what do you read to get into the Legion? One of the biggest problems is the stuff that's collected is the showcase, which is sort of the goofier stuff. Yeah. And to be honest, it's hard. Unless you like, you can kind of accept that stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to be like oh, wait, it gets serious. Yeah. It gets serious in 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
They started trading the Levitz and Giffen stuff from when they relaunched it in the Baxter style paper. Mm-hmm. But they haven't really collected recently this stuff, which was before the Baxter relaunch, which is really my favorite Legion stuff. And I have just reread all of them. And what always really impressed me about those issues is every time I read them, I have a new favorite character at the end of when I read it, because Levitz does such
so
a good
many
job
of them.
Yeah, and he does such a good job of giving them all different things, like different personalities, even though they might only be in an issue for a page or two. I just reread them, and there's a part which I honestly didn't remember the last time I read it, though. Drives me crazy. I must have noticed this at some point, but Element Lad, who's like the deputy leader, invites over a female police officer to play Dungeons and Dragons with him. Like, again, he's like, he has a collection of games from like Earth's past, so they're playing like
that's funny.
They're playing like Pac-Man and something else, and then he's like,
that's funny.
When are we gonna get to Dungeons and Dragons? Yeah, you know, which I just thought was funny that at any time a man would invite a woman over to play Dungeons and Dragons.
It's happened. Not successfully.
It didn't really work out for him as well either. But those are some of my favorite
favorite comic books.
So I hope you enjoy them, and I hope.
And I promise I won't start up Chris versus the Legion of Superheroes.
Legion of Superheroes. They're good. Those are good.
Nice.
You'll get into it. You'll like it a lot, especially with the Legion stuff they've been doing now, like in the back of Adventure Comics. That comes from that stuff.
Oh,
like,
cool.
That's the.
Well, you know, I'm a big dork for cosmic outer space stories. I'm a huge fan of, and I'll never, you know, one of the quotes that you've had on the show that I think really explains the kind of cosmic comic books that I enjoy. So you say, I like my cosmic with a small C, not a big C. And, you know, I think when, you know, people go, what does that mean? It's, like the Starlin, Warlock comics are a big C.
Right.
But you got like gods and like
eternity
and death. Eternity. And it can be a little too much.
I think that's a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah.
Cosmic with a small C is Star Wars.
It's in space.
And, it's space pirates.
And this, you know, I know you like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Love Guardians.
You love those, because that's what those Legion issues are, pretty much.
Awesome.
Kid soap opera. And it was funny in rereading it, you know, you always hear people sort of make the comparison between X-Men and the Legion of Superheroes, you know, from that same time period as being the stuff
that people
were. A lot
of people were either or.
Yeah, but it's funny because when I'm thinking about, you know, all the team books I've liked, you know, in my comic book fandom, and it always struck me that between X-Men, those Claremont X-Men, and those Legion issues, like, if you wanted to figure out how to write a good team book, you would read those and like steal those ideas.
You would have to, because there's so many characters. I mean, we think, you know, Mike, with you, speaking of what books we'd like to see you work on, and half the books that we talk about are team books, and you're like, too many characters.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, you'll never work on Legion.
I've had a couple people suggest that to me, and I do that. I said, too many characters.
One of the funny things about these books, you'll notice, it always makes me laugh when people are like, oh, back in the day, you know, artists stuck on books for a long time and there wasn't delays. Like, when you read those runs and you start to see fill-in artists and the occasional, we didn't have an issue this month, here's a reprint of. It's like, listen, because some of those are, when DC went to the 40-page stories, the poor dude that was drawing, Jimmy James, who was drawing Legion, his arm must have fallen off because he was drawing 40 pages of Legion story.
Oh, wow.
A month, you know, and some of them, there's a couple that you could tell that he had run down low. Ditko does a few.
Oh, wow.
Legion stories in there as
Ditko?
Well. Yeah, there's a few Ditko Legion ones.
Really?
Yeah. That's not cool. His best stuff, but it's funny to see him drawing like the Legion of Superheroes.
I have a feeling he was probably doing it for a paycheck at that point.
Yeah, probably. But they're good, and I think you'll get hooked on the Legion, because that's what got me into enjoying the Legion.
Excellent.
Nice. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Yeah. You gotta start drinking a beer. You still I'm nursing that coffee.
My, I'm almost done
still
with my
nursing that coffee. You're disappointing.
This
here,
is
Tom.
A giant coffee that I've been drinking.
The beer I picked for this evening, by the way, was the New Belgian Tubolo. Because
it's appropriate.
It almost is.
Yeah, I know.
It is cold out there, folks.
I remember what I was going to say about the X-Men and Legion thing. It's funny that they always get compared to each other, because really I think they're sort of opposite ends of how you do like group storytelling. Because really the Legion at times seems like it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Because there is like, it's almost all subplots sometimes, where it's just like things going on between two characters, and then you'll have a couple issues of that, and it doesn't seem like there's a big overarching story, and then there'll be a big overarching story. Whereas, you know, in those Claremont X-Men, it was always like, you knew it was headed somewhere. The group's always together. You know, it was interaction between all of them on the Legion. Sometimes they kind of split up, and some Legionnaires won't show up in an issue for like a year, you know, just because there's no story, you know, for this character.
So for like 12 issues,
just kind of off doing something, you know, doing something else. But it's really cool because different writers have different obvious favorite characters. So when they start writing, then all of a sudden, you know, because there's some Conway issues in there, Levitt's issues, Kerry Bates
issues. Who are your favorite Legion characters?
Oh, Brainiac 5 is one of my favorite characters.
You love all Brainiacs. Doesn't have to be 5.
Just because he's just he's a dick to everyone, which is great. It's, other ones I really like. I like Block, big stone guy.
Block.
I always really enjoyed him. And I've come to enjoy Wildfire, even though when I was a kid, I hated Wildfire. He was,
really?
God,
why?
Yeah. Because he was sort of, like the brash, like cocky one, and he became wildly popular. And part of how the Legion works is like they elect a leader, but they used to solicit readers to vote, you know, write in and vote. Now this happened. I was reading all old issues at the time.
Okay.
I'm not involved. This took
actually
place 10
in the,
years
in the voting.
Yeah, like this. Well, the issues I'm reading are ten. This
it'll be like someone
15
like,
years previously. Yeah.
It'll be like someone you know reading the vote. If Robin should live or die.
Yeah, right, like, and I used to, and I remember as a kid just getting pissed off that everyone liked Wildfire. I'm like, why does everyone, you know, because when I was a kid, I was like, characters like Cyclops, you know, like someone you could set your watch to, you know, good, solid leader instead of like the brash Wolverine type character. But I've come to enjoy Wildfire over the years now.
Wildfire connected to Red Tornado?
Yeah, they've done things where there's a tenuous connection.
Okay. That's what I
at some points. But I mean, with the Legion, everyone's been tied to something at some point.
A thousand years in the future.
Yeah, there's like some little connections between the two. So enjoy those books.
Is there some Mon-El in here?
There's tons of Mon-El in there.
Mon-El.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Which is awesome because I've really enjoyed James Robinson's take on Mon-El in Superman.
He's a fun character. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a goofy concept, but when written well, he can be good.
Why is Mon-El a goofy concept?
It's just like another Superboy.
Well, yeah.
But
what's goofy about that, Tom?
The fact that you have a team with Superboy, and then you introduce a character who is
Superboy.
And then you have another character like Ultra Boy, who's kind of also Superboy.
Oh, I'm confused now.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny. It's weird.
Oh wow, seriously, I for some reason thought Ultra Boy and Mon-El were the same guy.
No. They're two separate guys.
Oh, man.
It's the Legion. See? I tell you what, as I read these...
right now, I'm somehow psychically hearing somebody in the future listening to this yelling.
That
future is probably about 10 minutes after it's released.
After it's released. There's people that love the Legion, man. They love...
Yeah. Matt Kramer is staring at his iPod.
I probably said something wrong, too. Yeah,
shaking his fist.
You're going to be pissed off. So, what have you read lately that you've
enjoyed? Well, yeah. Speaking of Mon-El, this has been in 2009, and I think this is just kind of how comic fans go is you pick up new things and you're always looking, hopefully always looking for things to get excited about and really throw yourself into. Obviously, Blackest Night has been a big deal this past year, mm-hmm. but I've really, really enjoyed what has happened with the Superman family of books. And in speaking of Mon-El, I really like that character. I think that James Robinson has done a pretty awesome job of building that character up from something that was just a passing interest character mm-hmm. to someone that actually is frontlining a pretty big book at DC. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because I think looking forward to 2010, the Earth New Krypton War is going to be their big story that comes on the heels of Blackest Night. But I'm really still really enjoying the Superman family books.
Well, you'll see Mon-El and Robinson's Justice League, so.
That's right.
Yeah, so you'll see plenty of them.
Now, okay, now the whole Justice League thing. Who's going to be the lineup in Justice League?
I don't remember. I know Mon-El's in it and Gorilla.
Bill, Congo Bill.
Congo Bill.
Yeah.
Congo Bill. I'm embarrassed that I almost screwed up my ape characters.
I know. You almost Agents of Atlas there.
Yeah, isn't it embarrassing?
So that's another thing. I guess in 2010, characters. Looking forward to hopefully Justice League getting the
shit
together.
I'm looking for more ape comics, more talking apes. I think
for real,
yeah. More.
I think actually the apes have entered my ninjas, a post-apocalyptic angels, devils list of things that I hate.
You're just tired of
yeah.
them.
You're tired of apes.
I'm a little tired of apes.
Do you read Agents of Atlas?
That's okay.
Okay.
I mean, you can have one or two. It's like apes.
Because Gorilla Man is awesome.
Gorilla Man's all right.
Yeah, and it's...
You won't be working on a Gorilla City comic?
Not that I know.
Anytime soon.
I've drawn Gorilla Man before. Yeah. He was
Speaking of, I picked up the Grant Morrison, Mark Miller Flash trade this week.
Yeah.
Looking forward to reading it.
It's good. It's good? Some good stuff, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Which one? Dead Stop or... what's it called? I forget. There's two of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are some good stories. Oh, and I was going to mention this on the show. Mm-hmm. They recently came out with a trade of JLA Year One, the Mark Waid, Tom Payer, Barry Kitson Year mm-hmm. One for JLA, mm-hmm. Which in current continuity doesn't make any sense, but it's a good story. So I wanted to tell people to pick that up. It's so weird that it's coming out now, because that book. It was made at a time when, in continuity, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman really didn't start the Justice League. It was Barry Allen, Hal Jordan, Black Canary. They mm-hmm. were the original members of the Justice League.
And not the Trinity?
Yeah, not the Trinity. Oh. So it's a story about them. And it also features one of the best written Aquaman that I've read. It has a great scene where he's in a bar, and he's just like
drinking like
surface.
A fish.
No, he came to the surface and he can't understand. God, he can't understand what anyone's saying because he's used to hearing people mm-hmm. underwater talking. So mm-hmm. he's like, everyone's like, "What's with your weird accent?" And he gets into a bar fight.
Nice.
And beats him up. So that's a good book that if people are interested, they should go pick that up. And I also wanted to mention, mm-hmm. I've been enjoying Guardians of the Galaxy, but now it seems I have no idea what this event, these events, it's part of is.
It's kind of getting like, to a point that it's like, okay.
It has the, what's the story it's part of now? I forget.
It's not
something Kings, Realm of Kings.
Realm of Kings.
I'm just like.
Oh, okay.
They're starting to make the worst event mistake that you can make, and that is to have the event take over the story to the point that it starts to degrade the storytelling of the book.
Right. It's not bad. I still like the book, but it feels like it's been part of something I haven't been reading for
about
a year and a half.
Like, I read them in trades, and things like that are getting to the point, well, most Marvel books are, because at some point in their collections in the last couple of years, you're going to have some kind of dark rain or something into it.
I want Guardians to get back to just doing Guardians of the Galaxy stories.
So I'll read these trades, and I don't know if I'm reading an issue of something else that was thrown in here, so you'll know, or or if there's an issue I don't know, or if there's something else I got to read.
This is my problem, is that the team is fun enough and cool enough on its own to just tell their stories. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Rocket Raccoon and Groot and mm-hmm. and Drax and Gamora and this whole cast of characters. Have fun with them. Just go tell stories with that team. And
mm-hmm. I shouldn't say, like, it hasn't been confusing. Like,
it hasn't been bad. It just could be even more awesome.
It's just more weird to me that like I've been reading this book that is apparently part of some event. Mm-hmm. And I've not read any other part of other part of it.
Well, did you read the War of Kings stuff?
No, I didn't read any of that. It was too much stuff.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was. I can see if you're the kind of comic fan, it's like I'm going to read just this and only this. Mm-hmm. It would have been a lot of fun, but yeah, I mean, just kind of get back to telling Guardian stories mm-hmm. because that's what I loved about that book in the first 9 or 10 issues or so.
I agree with
even
that.
Though, but I mean, it's such a contradiction because it came out of an event. It came right. out of the whole Annihilation thing. So hey, I tell you what, we are we're at about our hour mark. Yeah. So let's go ahead, wrap this one up. Let's come back next week and talk about what we've been reading over the Christmas break and New Year's and all that. So a couple quick notes. So we'd already mentioned Twitter. You can follow us in a variety of ways at Around Comics, at Tom Caters, at Chris Niesman, at Brian Salazar. You can follow Mike. Just do a search for Mike Norton on Twitter, and you can follow him on what he's doing. You have some great art posts on there and stuff that you're working on. The Around Comics forums are back up and running.
I saw that.
Decided to throw it back up there.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that. So come on over to aroundcomics.com, and your old account should work just fine. And let us know what you think about this.
Bring
and
presents.
Bring presents.
Refreshments with you.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, please. A 6-pack of Two Below would be nice. what else we got? Oh, you can email the show at chris@aroundcomics.com or info@aroundcomics. You can also send us a voicemail, and that is at 1-888-977-5903. That's about it. Oh, thanks to the iTunes reviews. You're getting us close to like 400 or something.
Wow.
So I appreciate that. Yeah. So
all favorable, aren't they?
Yeah, so
we do not acknowledge.
All but five.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So
that's a pretty good average.
We have a 5-star rating, baby.
That's nice.
It's quality. Quality.
Yeah, quality.
All right. So we'll be back again next week. And Tom and I are going to talk about the future of Around Comics, what we're going to do. And honestly, we have no idea. Yeah. So it'll just kind of come out.
It's for sale. If someone else wants to buy it.
Yeah, someone would like to buy the
future episode. It's the predicting the future episode.
So don't
worry.
We're
going to do something that no other podcast has the balls to do. I'm going to pick my 2010 book of the year.
Wow.
Today.
Nice.
Wow. On January 1st, I'm going to give up my awards for best book of the year.
Oh, you should do that. Oh, that'd be great.
We always talked about doing it from the, because we skipped a couple episodes around there, episode numbers, and so we figured that we would re-release those and do a from the future.
From the future.
We never did an episode 13, so we may that may be the last episode. We'll release episode 13.
Bad luck episode.
And it'll be the one, our predictions of the future.
Future.
Yeah, that show's about 5 years old now.
Well, it's going to be interesting in Europe because I predict that the apocalypse comes in 7 months, so.
Uh-oh.
Just in time for Siege to wrap up from Marvel. So. We'll see it. And you will be able to see the end of that 4-issue miniseries before then. So don't worry too much, comic book fans.
Nice.
Better hope it ends good.
Yeah. That could be the last thing you read.
Okay, Tom, music for this episode.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna send you some music. Bye.
Do you need a second?
Devin Davis.
Devin Davis.
Yeah, I'm gonna send you stuff.
All right. Okay. Yeah,
he's
a
Chicago musician.
Mm. Okay. So music for this episode featuring Devin Davis. Yeah. Just send me your 4 favorite tracks.
Oh, I will.
I'll
send you 4 lovely pieces of music.
In a Chicago one that I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Pretty strange, huh?
You didn't send him a gift basket when he moved here?
Well, apparently. Is Andrew Bird Chicagoan?
Who's that?
I don't know.
I think he was in your neighborhood. Both of your all's neighborhood.
Who is it? You got to tell me who he is, and then I'll find out.
Really?
Yeah.
I know everyone. We know everyone in Logan
Andrew
Square.
Bird's Big Bowl of Fire.
I haven't seen him at the Starbucks.
No.
That's you see everybody at the Starbucks.
From my window, I look into the Starbucks.
All right, everyone, happy new year. And here is to a fantastic 2010 and whatever we'll call them, the teens or whatever the hell they are. So,
the zeros.
The tweens.
We're through the aughts. So, yeah, it's the tweens.
The tweens.
So, yeah, we're into
we're
the
growing
tweens.
Up.
Hopefully it's a great decade for everyone out there.
I can't wait for the robots to take over.
Really? Yeah, it would do all the work for us.
Yeah, you know,
I'm ready to become decadent. Yeah. Just fat and just like Baron Harkonnen and Dune. Just
that's the second
around.
Time in 2 days I've heard a Baron Harkonnen reference. Nice. I was like, seriously? How many nerds do I know?
Who made the first one?
Dennis Hopeless yesterday, and he said the exact same thing. He wants to become like that,
just fat and floating. Yeah.
I'd be like Sting in that movie.
Whoa,
shirtless, just sort of
vaguely Belmont and Hallstead-ish.
Very trim. Where is Dennis?
He went home. He drove home today. Yeah.
Oh, I was hoping we'd see him.
When we start that Dune podcast.
All right, everyone, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend and a great 2010.
Spices.
We'll be back again next Monday with another full-length episode. In the meantime,
spices.
The spices. Thank you, Patrick.
Spice.
We'll be everywhere in and around comics.
What is...
I wonder if he hears my internal monologue. We need this to explain this movie. There's a sock in my head. I don't remember putting
Dune is like the
all
real
my life. Internal monologue sounds like Kyle MacLachlan too.
Dune is like the real life equivalent of what people complain about, like old comics explaining what people are.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any of your production, a rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2010.
I don't care what the scientists say. There's a campfire built in my heart that even the sun couldn't start. I'm a climber.